one of the greatest sermons ever preached, if not the greatest, is recorded in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew. We refer to it usually as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus stood on a mount overlooking the Sea of Galilee almost 2,000 years ago and preached a sermon that is shorter than almost all sermons that we preachers preach today. And yet a sermon which comes very near, if not completely, to the point of including every basic principle which is needed by us in living the Christian life. At the beginning of the third division of that sermon, man-made division, the seventh chapter, God's word records Jesus as saying, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." The first verse in this chapter is not condemning judgment, because the verses that follow these two show that we are to be concerned about the mote that is in the brother's eye, although we should be first concerned about the beam in our own. What is being taught is that we need to be concerned about the kind of judgment that we make, that it be based on God's word, that it be based on fairness, and on having the right relationship with each other. The statement that follows in verse 2 after judgment is mentioned is the statement that serves as the title for our study this morning. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. The New King James Version says, with the measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Two men were discussing the town where they lived. One of them said, "I am considering moving out of the town because I just don't like the people that are here." Whereupon the second gentleman said, "I'm considering retiring here because these are some of the finest people I've ever met." Those two men were talking about the same people. One of them thinking about moving, the other one thinking about staying. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. A rather wealthy businessman involved in the construction of houses, dwelling houses, instructed one of his foremen who'd been with him for a long period of time to build a certain house. And he said, "I would like that house built out of the best material that you can find from the ground up. Don't spare any expenses. Build it out of the best." As the foreman began to build that house, he, going contrary to the instructions and using his own judgment, decided that he could cut many corners and save much money, especially when he was dealing with those materials that could not be seen from the outside and would not be noticed after the house was built. So he cut every corner that he could. When he had finished the house and went back to report, the businessman said to this foreman, "Here are the keys to this house. I want to give it to you. It's yours. I want you to have it. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And even though most of us, perhaps all of us, would never be in that same setting of building a physical house, many times in a figurative way, God hands us the keys back, or somebody hands us the keys to that house which we are building. And if we cut corners truly with what measure we meet, it shall be measured to us again. For just a few minutes, I want you to look with me at four examples from the Bible that illustrate this point in a negative way, and three examples that show it in a positive manner. Go with me first back to the book of 2 Samuel. You would have to read about chapters 14 through 18 to get the story to which we have reference. A young man, the son of David, was named Absalom. Absalom was a young man who was struck on himself and who was especially interested in personal beauty and personal power. The Bible says in the 14th chapter that he was considered to be one of the most handsome young men, perhaps the most handsome young man of his time, from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. And he would have been one of those. If you didn't believe that, all you'd have had to have done was to ask him. In fact, he was especially proud of his hair. Let it grow for an entire year, and then had somewhat of a ceremony when he cut his hair so that they could weigh it and see how much he had grown, or how much hair he had grown during that year. In this setting of his selfishness toward beauty, he also had the selfishness toward power, wanting even to take the kingdom from his father. And in his attempt to do that, he met his own death. And it's rather interesting that his death came about because his head was caught in the limbs of a tree as his mule ran under that tree and then ran out from under him. He literally was hanging from the tree. The Bible does not say that he was hanging by his hair. He was hanging by his head. But the emphasis that is placed upon his hair may indicate at least some speculation that the very thing that he prized so much in his life is that which brought about the circumstances that resulted in his death. And his very desire for personal beauty and personal power seems to be the summation of what brought about the end of his life and sadness to his father and to others at that time. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. A second example is a little bit later in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Kings. And we have reference here to a husband by the name of Ahab and a wife by the name of Jezebel. Names that are almost household names. Many things happened in their lives as you begin to read along about the 14th chapter of 1 Kings and on into the latter part of that book and into the first part of the next book. We're all aware of the wickedness of Jezebel and Ahab. But one event is the one to which I call your attention this morning. Ahab wanted the vineyard of Naboth. Although he no doubt had acres and acres of land, this one little vineyard of Naboth was just an obsession to him. And with the help and encouragement of Jezebel, he had Naboth killed, or really she had Naboth killed, and he went along with it. And there in 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, in verse 19, the Bible says to Ahab, recording the words of God, that the dog shall lick your blood in the same place where the blood of Naboth was shed. And you'll read a little later that Ahab was killed, and they brought the chariot back to wash it and clean it in that place where Naboth had died. And the dogs literally licked the blood of Ahab in the same place where he, perhaps more so his wife, with his support, had Naboth killed. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then going into 2 Kings at chapter 5, in connection with a story that is known so much, there is another story that is not usually mentioned. The first 14 or 15 verses of 2 Kings 5 tell us about the leprosy of Naaman, and that leprosy being healed when he finally got around to doing what God told him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. But after he had done that, he came back to Elisha, and he said, I want to pay you. Let me give you something. Let me reward you for what you've done. And Elisha said, no, don't want anything. But after Naaman had gone on his way, there was a fellow who was a servant of Elisha, a fellow by the name of Gehazi. He saw an opportunity. He ran after Naaman. And he said, my master's changed his mind, and he's decided to take something from you. He said, we've got a couple fellows up here that are coming in, and they need some clothing, and they need some other things. Naaman was glad to give it to him. He took it, and the Bible says, as they were going back, he took this aside to his own house. He selfishly wanted the spoils of the ruin, or the spoils, or the reward, perhaps, would be a better way to say it, concerning what had been done. He wanted to take advantage of the situation. And his master came to him and said, because of what you have done, the same leprosy that Naaman had, you're now going to have. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And perhaps the classic example of all of these that shows the negative aspect of the subject before us is the one in the book of Esther. Very few of you this morning would not remember the man who was hanged on his own gallows. A man by the name of Haman, who wanted power and in connection with that wanted to get rid of these Jewish people that were there, Mordecai particularly. And thinking that the king wanted to do so much for him and thinking that he would have an opportunity to get rid of his enemy Mordecai, he built the gallows at the suggestion of others that Mordecai might be hanged. You know the story of how Esther intervened, really how God intervened through Esther. Mordecai was rewarded and the decree came down, take this man Haman and hang him on his own gallows. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. If you are interested in personal beauty and personal power, if you're interested in materialism to the point that you're not sensitive to other people and you're ready to run over the feelings and the needs of others to get your own way, if you're interested in trying to push your enemy down or to push anybody down for your own gain, the Bible teaches, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured back to you again. And the person who spends his life in selfish desires and the fulfillment of those selfish desires may be like that man who was going to leave the town because he did not have any friends. But now switch your thinking to the positive side. In Luke 7, there is a story that is told about a man that is called a centurion who had a servant that was sick, and he wanted Jesus to heal that servant. We usually would not look between the lines and some of the little things that are said here, but this morning, for the point, I want you to. When some of his friends and associates were trying to persuade Jesus to heal this servant, they said, this man is worthy. Number one, he loves our nation. He'd been a good citizen. Number two, he's built us a synagogue. He was interested in helping the people to have a place to worship God as they were at that time in their customs. And even he himself indicates something when he came to Jesus and he said, I'm not worthy that you come to me. I just want you to help my servant. And the fact that he was interested in a servant, and that servant being healed, shows us something about the humility of this man and how he is so sensitive to the needs of others. Look what happens. Jesus said, you've got great faith. I'm going to take care of the situation. But I want you to notice as you look at this how when the chips were down and this man needed some support, he had it. He had the people to rally around him. Why? Because he had been doing good things for people perhaps all his life. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Think about the Joseph of the Old Testament. It would not be difficult to bring an entire lesson this morning about the difficulties of that man. The persecution, his brothers turning against him, selling him into Egypt, even there being put in prison for false accusation, being forgotten by one who might have been able to help him come out of prison earlier. And yet look at the attitude of this man when his brothers are in need of food. And look how even the Egyptians rally around him when he loses his father in death in Genesis chapter 50. And look how even his last request is carried out that his bones were taken with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage. Here's a man who suffered in so many ways at age 17 when he was a little bit older. And even throughout the entirety of life, he had problems. Persecuted, put in prison, forgotten. But he just kept on trying to help people. Whether it was the household of Pharaoh or Potiphar, or whether it was the butler or the baker, whether it was his own brethren, whoever it was, he was there to help people and to reach out to them. And even his last request was carried out. Switch from the Old Testament into the New, from a man to a woman this time, and look at Dorcas in Acts 9. We see her at the time of her death. The indication is there of what had happened in the events that led up to her death. And what is said on that occasion tells us the kind of person she was. When there was death, there were people there to help. When there was illness that was terminal, there were people there to help. And in this case, at the time of the miraculous situation, when there was someone who could bring her back to life, he was there to help. Why? Look what that woman had done in her life. As they were recalling her life, they were showing the garments that she had made. She was another one of those people persons. One of those who had used her life to help others. And when there was a need, look what was there. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. The person who dedicates his life to serving God and serving others will never be the loser. The person who uses his entire life and his entire resources to reach out to be helpful to others will always be a winner. We may not see all of that victory. Sometimes all the harvest doesn't come in the month of October. But I'll guarantee you this morning, based upon the greatest guarantee that we have, the teaching of the Word of God itself, that the Bible teaches and we can believe that with the measure that we use in reaching out to others, it'll be measured back to us again. Perhaps in some ways even packed down a little bit, especially when it's coming from God. And I believe that this principle is especially important this morning. As we come to a point in our work and in the work of the university, particularly, where students are going to be launching out on a new section of life and parents who will be leaving their sons and daughters here, leaving them away from home for the first time, will be going back home to a new type of life. I say to you especially, but to all of us, that with what measure we meet, it shall be measured to each of us again. You use your life in selfishness, desire for pride and power and materialism, and you'll come out a loser. You use your life in humility and service, especially reaching out in love and kindness to others, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be a winner. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And not only in this life, but even at the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says the judgment's going to be done according to the deeds that one's done in the body. Notice that word, according. According to. And Revelation 20, in that great judgment scene, says that we're going to be judged out of the books according to God's law. But listen to this, according to their works, according to how you've treated others. And that's exactly what's described in Matthew 25 in the separation of the sheep from the goats. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And it was our Lord himself who said in Matthew 10:32, you deny me, 33, deny me and I'll deny you, 32, you confess me and I'll confess you. Was he not in a sense saying, the measure you give to the Lord in service is the measure that will be remembered when you come to that judgment day? With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And I would close the lesson this morning with this conclusion. You cannot reach out with the right measure to other people unless you're in Christ and let him help you. That's why we remind you of the invitation of Christ and encourage you, if you need to be baptized into him this morning for the remission of sins, or if your life is not like it ought to be as a child of his, if you need to come back and ask for forgiveness in a public way, we encourage you to think about that, because it is so important to be where we can know that our Lord will confess us in the day of judgment. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured back to you. What measure are you using this morning? If it's less than what it ought to be, come to Christ as together we stand and sing.